Amen. I would like to thank Pastor for allowing me to preach today. And this is more terrifying for me than the evening service. But I really appreciate everyone that's showing up. And I'm sure Pastor appreciates that we are on the right place, the place that where we ought to be. And please keep Pastor and his family in your prayers as they travel. And we are in 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at the verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? The title of the sermon today is Judgment Must Begin at the House of God.
Right.
When God said that for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, what is the house of God? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, you don't have to go there. But I tarry long that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The congregation of believers is the church of God, which is the house of God. The judgment that is in reference to this passage is not about the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment, or a license for us to start judging everyone and taking the mote out of our brother's eyes, but rather a judgment that will help us take away the beam off of our own eyes. Judgment must begin at the house of God means self-examinations, self-evaluation with regards to our Christian life, whether our actions are pleasing to God. If the church are doing judgment or self-examination, what will the end be for those unbelievers? God will judge them. I remember I was compelling to this person that's dear to me the truth. And she said, only God can judge me. And she walked away. I thought to myself, that's the least place that I want to be, under God's judgment. That's why God wants to begin judgment in the house of God. The judgment in the scripture is defined as a decision or opinion about someone or something that you form after thinking carefully. Keep a bookmark in 1 Peter chapter 4 and turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, if you would. God is requiring us to conduct or exercise judgment or self-examination for our spiritual life. When it comes to our outward appearance, we practice judgment or self-examination in a regular basis, right? Every day, we inspect closely our appearance, the clothes we wear, our hair, and other physical features of our body. But God also expects us to do the same with our spiritual life. Matthew 23, verse 25 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outsides of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of there may be clean also. Oftentimes we are more concerned on the outward appearance. And this is not a bad thing, but we shouldn't forget what is within. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Please turn back to 1 Peter chapter 4. Why is self-examination or judgment in the house of God important? Because without this practice, our spiritual life and as a whole body, the church, will fail and fall apart. Many churches today looks good from the outside, but the inner or spiritual part has gone way off from the will of God.
That's right.
They've allowed sin to dwell in the house of God.
Right.
If judgment must begin in the house of God, then, number one, we need to examine ourselves whether we are living in the will of God or in the flesh. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Please turn to James chapter 1, if you would. James chapter 1. Every day to the rest of our time, we need to live to the will of God. Living to the will of God is not an easy task. That's why God gave us reminders, warnings, and to-do checklist for our self-examination, self-evaluation. And they are all written in the Bible. If we are not looking at this checklist on a regular basis, there's a tendency that we could get off track. The course of our life should be aligned to the will of God. James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted. There is no exception on this. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Please turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, if you would. Living a life to the will of God prevents us to lust after the desires of the flesh. But living a life in the flesh prevents us to live according to God's will. Romans 6, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We are to examine our eyes, that we should not allow filth enter in through our eyes with pornography and all other filth through the televisions, computers, and smartphones.
Amen.
We are to examine our minds and avoid foolish and sinful thoughts. We are to examine our mouth and should utter the words that are pleasing to God. God can see and hear the thoughts of our mind, and even when we're just typing the thoughts in our private messages, he can see it. When we examine and evaluate ourselves, it protects us from future consequences and regrets. I'm sure when you plan for a family road trip, you examine the car before the trip to avoid to avoid trouble along the way. When you see something that's not right or warning lights are lit, you make a judgment call to postpone the trip until things are fixed. Examining or evaluating something is important to make the right actions, decisions, and to keep everyone safe. Please take your bulletin and open it. This is an example why exercising judgment is important. And when we disregard judgment, disasters can happen. I'm not here to beat anyone, but this is an important lesson that we have to learn and remember. Go to the section where coronavirus COVID-19 precautions. What is the first item that it says there? If you or your family are sick, please stay home. Every week we are reminded to self-examine ourselves with regards to our physical health.
Amen.
When we ignore the reminders and disregard judgment or self-examinations, the consequences of that action is distressful to those that are close to us. Because we made light and disregard self-evaluation, many people became ill. Others were prevented to go to work just because they were part of the affected household. Please turn to 1 Chronicles 21, if you would. 1 Chronicles 21 in the Old Testament. The repercussions of our actions has a ripple effect beyond what we can think and expect. We have control over our actions, but we don't have control over the repercussions. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, "Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it." And Joab answered, "The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went through all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David. And all they of Israel were 1,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword. And Judah was 430,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. Because David disregarded Joab's warning and self-examination of this action, 70,000 men died. Skip to verse 14. Verse 14. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. In verse 17, and David said unto God, "Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for this sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued." David realized his mistakes and his sin, but can he undo the consequences of his action? Can he bring back the lives of the 70,000 innocent men? Never in his wildest imagination expected the repercussions of his actions. He could have avoided this tragedy if only he paused for a moment and made a self-examination and judgment for this action, whether this is in line with God's will. Please turn back to 1 Peter chapter 4. Our actions, our sins, has a ripple effect to our parents, our siblings, to our children, and to the church. Self-judgment or self-examination will protect us and the people that are close to us. We need to exercise righteous judgment and decide to ignore, to feed the lust of the flesh and the cravings for the things of this world. Look at verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 4. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Looking back to the time when we were living under the control of the flesh as an unsaved person, and compare our lives today, we can say that we've become victorious in some areas that we struggled before. We know that it wasn't an overnight process. It was a slow, step-by-step process. Exercising self-examination judgment can help us even more in living a life according to God's will. If judgment must begin in the house of God, then, number two, we need to examine our work whether it is conforming to the will of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. Doing the right thing, the right work, is not something to be ashamed of. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Many Christians today are just satisfied to be fed week after week after week and completely disregarded the importance of the Great Commission to avoid persecution. Churches today believe and rely that gospel tracts can save people. I don't believe on this idea or teaching because it contradicts with several scriptures. This teaching can give people a good reason not to go out so winning and not getting involved with the work of God. First contradiction in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let's look closely at this passage. But the natural man, who is the natural man? The unsaved person. But the natural man receiveth not. The unsaved person cannot receive what? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. What are the things of the Spirit of God? In John 6, chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit." So what are the things of the Spirit of God? God's words or the Bible. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. What is foolishness unto the unsaved person? God's words. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Neither. This is a negative meaning. They cannot. What does them refers to? God's words, the Bible. They cannot know the word of God. Why? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they, what does they refers to? God's words, spiritual things of God, they are spiritually discerned. The Bible, which is God's word, can only be discerned by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Only the Holy Spirit can perceive or understand God's words. The reason why we can understand and discern the message of this book, because of the Holy Spirit that dwelleth in us. The Holy Spirit that dwells in a saved person. The natural man, unsaved person, cannot understand the word of God because he doesn't have the Spirit of God yet to make him understand the spiritual things of God. The natural man needs someone, a person with the Spirit of God that will explain to him the things that are spiritual, which is the message of the word of God. Amen. Please turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Let me show you another contradiction to this idea. This is the literal biblical example. Acts chapter 8. An example of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. An event that really happened to disprove that a person can be saved by reading passages in the tracts or just by reading the Bible. Acts chapter 8, verse 25. And they, who are they? referring to the apostles. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, the things of the Spirit of God. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel. What is the gospel? The things of the Spirit of God. Returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, who is Philip's soul winner, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch, the unsaved person, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot read Esaias the prophet. So this Ethiopian eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah, the word of God. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? Hey, unsaved person, are you understanding what you're reading? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip, the soul winner, that he would come up and sit with him. So Philip here explained everything. Verse 37, skip to verse 37. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. We saw in this story the importance of a soul winner. Explaining the gospel. God has to include this story because he knows there will be people that will disregard his commission and disregard the proper way by preaching and speaking the mystery of the gospel boldly. The Bible doesn't preach the mystery of the gospel to the natural man. He will never know or understand it. The unsaved person needs someone to guide him. I remember on the first mission trip, the missionaries from Texas saw this huge banner that says KKK. And one of them was surprised and asked me, What's the meaning of that sign? And I explained to him that it's not the same what Americans think of KKK. It is the symbol of the Philippine Revolution. It is a symbol of bravery and freedom. Then he understood because someone guided him to the right message of that symbol. If nobody told him the meaning, it will be a mystery to him. The role of the preacher with the Holy Spirit is to guide the natural man and make him understand the things of the Spirit of God. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Have you ever wondered why the Catholic priests do the opposite of what the Bible teaches, even though they read the Bible? It's so clear what the Bible says. Call no man your father upon the earth. And yet, they wanted to be called father, even though they don't have children. Because neither can they know or understand the Bible.
That's right.
In this passage, we'll see that speaking is the right and the proper way of soul winning. Ephesians 6, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is another clear contradiction Why would Paul desire to have boldness in speaking if they can be saved by just reading it? Who needs boldness in handing out tracts? To make everyone understand the proper way, the Apostle Paul has to reiterate speaking. He expressed the synonym of speaking, which is utterance. He expressed the action how speaking is done, to open the mouth. And the type of speech, to speak boldly. And repeated words speak again and again. By preaching or speaking, it conveys how the mystery of the gospel is made known. Mystery means something that is difficult or impossible to understand or explain. The saved preacher is the one that's guiding the unsaved person to make known or to make him understand the mystery of the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in the saved preacher. Why is it that God used the word preach over and over again? Because that's what God wanted us to do. And that's what works for salvation. What about those that are deaf? What about hearing aids that helps the deaf person? But back in the old days, there's no hearing aids. If God can make the ass speak in the old days, he can make the deaf hear. These are the things that we should avoid doing by limiting God and putting him into our level. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. There are a lot of questions out there that the Bible doesn't specifically talk about, but it shouldn't be our ground to discredit clear scriptures. Please turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus wasn't concerned that there is no printing press in his time, neither the shortage of the scriptures at that time. The Ethiopian eunuch didn't have a problem finding a Bible. The problem is he couldn't understand it. So what was the problem back then and still a problem today? Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the Bible tracts are few. Is that what it says? The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The laborers are the preachers of the gospel. Very few are getting involved in this work, in preaching the gospel. The reality and the problem is this. There's a shortage of preachers or laborers back then and to this present time. And even worse in other parts of the world. It's sad because not every Christians are doing the part that God commanded and expected of them. Please turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. We all know that not everyone that heard the gospel gets saved. Because they have to believe the gospel. Even though we preach the gospel, we cannot force them to believe the gospel. But with this kind of idea that people can get saved by just reading it, can affect soul winners and can do damage to the Great Commission. Having a good intention doesn't always make it right. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark, And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord and on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. Uzzah had a right intention to keep the ark of God secure. That is the right thing to do. But that was not God's will that any man should touch the ark. Judgment must begin in the house of God when we examine ourselves so that we can identify whether we're doing the work of God according to his will or on our own will. The success of this work is accomplished simply by following his instruction. This is my simple principle with doctrines. If I see clear scriptures and statements that contradicts the doctrine, I reject it. I mean, I reject the doctrine that contradicts the clear scriptures. We cannot afford to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, especially that involves the work of soul winning. But Jeff, there are testimonies from people that proves their doctrines. If you strongly believe on every testimony of the people than the Word of God, you are deeply rooted and grounded on the testimonies of men. Don't be confused or be distracted by testimonies, because you will be swept away by this. There are thousands, maybe millions of weird testimonies about spiritual things in YouTube that contradicts clear scriptures. And they are very convincing. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. We should have to draw the line in this issue. So we need to examine ourselves whether we are truly involved in the work of God the proper way, by preaching the gospel boldly. We don't want this hard-working, soul-winning church be affected with this idea. They can do whatever they want, but let's make it sure we're doing God's work according to his will and his way. Please turn back to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm not against tracts. These are great tools to start a conversation and a good source of information of the church. I'm against the idea that people can get saved by just reading it. If the tracts has a video link or a virtual soul winner that explains the gospel, then yes, they can get saved because someone is making them known the mystery of the gospel. If judgment must begin in the house of God, then we need to examine that our faith continues to grow even in the midst of trials. Verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. We need to examine that our faith continues to grow deeper and deeper in the truth. Because trials will come our way whether we like it or not. Doing the work of God comes with trials and tribulations. We shouldn't be surprised if trials happens to us, because this is to test and to strengthen us. The roots of our faith grow deeper and stronger when we face fiery trials that comes our way. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, you don't have to go there. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. God is the only one that can tell us how deep our faith is. But through his trials and testing, we can learn and grow the growth of our faith. Our trials comes in many forms. In the case of Job, he faced his trials through the loss of his children, through the loss of his finances, through the loss of his health. In the case of Stephen and the rest of the apostles, their trials came through hard persecution. Joseph was betrayed and sold as a slave by his own family and was wrongfully convicted. Every Christian will face trials and tribulation. And each one of us has different trials and situations, whether we're heading towards it or in it or has gone through it. No matter how hard a trial hit us, it is conquered through perseverance in faith. Quitting should not be an option. Christian life is like river rafting. There are times where the water is calm and peaceful. There are times where the water are rough and terrifying. And all that we can do is to hold on as hard as we can on the raft and wait until we get through the rough waters. When trials comes our way, all we can do is hold on to God as hard as we can. And never let go, but just wait on Him until He gets us through it. This reminded me when my daughter was just a small child. Whenever she's terrified of something, she would hold on to me as hard as she can and would never let go until I've got her away and safe from it. The reason why some Christians fail because they would let go of God. When trials or tribulation come, they would blame, hate, and curse Him. God is so cruel for allowing bad things to happen. Because of their anger towards God, they quit church, they quit the ministry, and turn towards the world. Sometimes you'll meet these people living in bitterness against God. They would tell you, "I used to go to church, but not anymore." Or, "I used to believe in God, but not anymore." Letting go of God and getting bitter at God is not the right approach when we face tribulations. Tribulation is the time to get even more closer to God, and we should continue to do more of church, more of Bible reading, and more of soul winning, more of praying. Please turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. I used to watch storm chasers videos. When the storm is coming in, the local authorities will advise the residents to seek for a safe refuge. This is the same principle when it comes to our tribulation. Psalm 62, verse 7. "In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. Job never sinned and kept his integrity during his trials and tribulation because he perfectly understood his position and who God is. Please turn to Matthew chapter 13. We need to examine that our faith continues to grow deeper in the truth, because not only trials comes our way, but also temptations. And the deceitfulness of riches can defeat and debilitate a Christian to accomplish things with eternal value. Matthew chapter 13, verse 20. "But he that receiveth the seed in the stony places, and same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receive seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful." Every day we are bombarded with temptations. And if we entertain these temptations, it will choke the word. everything that we know and everything that we've learned. And our flesh and mind will lust after it. And we will become unfruitful. Being fruitful is the will of God for us. And getting involved continually in the work of God will help us defeat our temptations. Victory and accomplishment of a Christian is not measured through the numbers of things we possess. Neither through the amount of dollars in our bank account. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would. The work that we do in this world will be tried and measured whether it has temporal or eternal value. The investment that we should consider with our time and energy should have an impact in eternity. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Our eternal rewards will be based on the type of work we do in this world. We need to consider the end because God will judge and take account of the things we've done, whether we become fruitful and productive for His kingdom. In verse 29, it says, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." Considering the latter end is wise. And God is gracious to show us the latter end, the rewards that awaits us if we do the work that He considers valuable. It's foolishness if we ignore the rewards when it's already prepared for us and He is making it known to us. When I first came to California, my mom took me to the EDD, Employment Development Department, to find a job. There was a security guard agency that was hiring in one of the rooms, so I approached the person in charge of the hiring process. And he told me, "We will hire you, but you have to take the security guard license test." Oh, great. I told them, "I don't know anything about the test." He said, "We will give the test questions with the answer key. All you have to do is fill out the questionnaire with the answers." Oh, that's great. That's easy. I thought to myself, why would others ignore this when they are giving out jobs with no skills required and it pays higher than the minimum? It's surprising to me because in the country where I'm from, there are tons of people looking for a job and there's just not enough to provide for everyone. And here, there's an abundance of opportunity to get a job. And this young, able man just doesn't want to take it, even when companies are giving it. Unbelievable. Turning away from a blessing is foolish. Please turn back to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. It's also unbelievable when God is giving the work and knowing that there's a heavenly reward. I don't know exactly what the rewards are, but one thing I know, if it's from God, it's the best that I could ever have. Amen. God is hiring. No skills required for this job. Whether you're young or old, man or woman, no discrimination, no layoffs, no furloughs. Job security is not an issue. Amen. And yet Christians just ignores it. If judgment must begin in the house of God, then we need to examine that our actions promotes positive effects to others. Verse 19 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. In other words, Paul is saying, be encouraged of what I committed myself in doing what is good and right. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Wherever we go, whatever we do, there's always someone watching and observing us. God is always watching us. In Psalm 139, verse 8, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. We are to consider our actions or the things that we do for the benefit of the people that are close to us. Aside from God, our family, our spouse, our kids are also watching us. Kids can tell if we are being a hypocrite or living the life according to God's will. We are to consider our actions also to those that are new to us. We ought to be nice and welcoming to our visitors. I know some of you are shy. I am shy too, honestly. The simplest way to overcome shyness is to be nice to someone and just simply say hi and smile. Yeah. We are to provoke others unto love and to provoke unto good works. Every first impression is critical. If you had a bad experience in the places that you went to, chances are you're not going back to that places. If you had a bad experience with the food, chances are you're not going to order that again. If you had a bad experience visiting a church, chances are you're not going back to that church. After 6 years from just visiting Verity Baptist Church, I still remember the person that approached me the very first time I stepped in this church. His action definitely has a part that provoked me unto love. Love for the lost souls. And unto good works of preaching the gospel. A simple hi, hello, how are you? Welcome to Verity Baptist Church can provoke visitors to come back again. If there are new kids, invite them to your games. Those new kids can provoke their parents to come to church again. Visitors appreciate when the people of the church are nice and welcoming. We are to consider as well those that are new to soul winning. These are the people that will provoke unto love, the love for the lost. We shouldn't be too critical when they are just starting on this job. We have to allow them to grow. We have to allow them to learn from their experiences, the things that work and the things that doesn't work. Not everything works for everyone. I remember as a new believer, I was observing Pastor Anderson's soul-winning demonstration. Been watching it over and over and over again. I tried to copy him, but I just couldn't do what he's doing. English is my second language. It doesn't come out naturally. So I have to come up with something that will work for me so that I can express the thought in a comfortable way and not sounding like a robot. Please turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Being puffed up and critical about the abilities of others is not the will of God. It doesn't provoke unto love and unto good works. It promotes discouragement. We are all in the same boat We are not competing with each other whether who has the most numbers of salvations. That's ridiculous if we have that mindset. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, you don't have to go there. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Another thing we have to consider are the words that comes out of our mouth. Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Please turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Maybe we are 3 to 5 soul-winning Christians, but if we don't put a bridle on our mouth, it could cause damage or destruction to whoever hears it. James 1 verse 26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Our perfect church attendance is in vain if our actions and the words we say doesn't conform with the teachings of God. People can tell right away the hypocrisy. It won't create a positive effects on others. It ruins reputations, testimony, and integrity. Someone quote this, building a reputation of integrity takes years, but it takes only a second to lose. I would like to take this opportunity to provoke the men in this room to take the opportunity to step up to the plate in preaching. Every man here has a greater advantage than me. I'm not eloquent. English is a second language for me, nor dynamic. And I consider myself late in this game. Don't allow the busyness and pleasure of this life hold you back to the work of a preacher. Time is another advantage to you. We are in a battle. This is not a clubhouse. This is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. This is a training ground for men to move forward towards the battle and take God's work seriously. This is a challenge because this is an open position. And there's a substantial need for this position. The laborers are few, my friend. Please turn to Psalm 106. This will be the last scriptures. Psalm 106, if you would. The time is now that judgment must begin at the house of God. We have to examine that we are living in the will of God and not in the flesh. We have to examine that our work is conforming to the will of God. We have to examine that our faith continues to grow even in the midst of trials. And we have to examine that our actions promotes positive effects on others. Psalm 106, verse 3. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today and for this church and for bringing us back together here. Thank you so much. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to learn judgment must first start in the house of God. It is sad for those that are unsaved that they will receive your judgment. Nobody will be teaching them how to judge themselves the right way. So help us, Lord, and provoke us to do the work that you commanded us to do so that we will be able to provoke those people and those people that need to hear the gospel, Lord, to do the work for you. Please bless Pastor and his family. Please keep them safe, and please bless the rest of the day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.